The Africa Report.
Jasmine Opperman is the director at Tourism Research and Analysis Consortium, joining me on the line from Johannesburg. Jasmine, thank you very much for joining us. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning to your listeners.
Two reasons for this conversation, really. We were shocked, I think, and horrified by the attack on the people in a mosque in Ottawa, which is just outside of Verulam in KwaZulu-Natal, because as much as we know and we have read in the past that there are people who support terrorism who are resident in South Africa, they support it financially and otherwise, we've never seen what we can dub an act of terror in South Africa. Last week, there was an attack in Mozambique that saw many people dying as a result of terror-related attacks. Why is the Southern African region all of a sudden an area of focus for these terror groups?
First, I think we just need to be very specific, and I think we must stay away from warmongering. I think that is our greatest risk in this region because it is something completely unfamiliar that we are being confronted with. We keep in mind the Verulam attack cannot be seen as a terrorist attack as yet. Or as long as we do not know who the perpetrators are, or as long as we do not do any link analysis to determine associations, be it on social media or direct engagement with extremist groups, it is just too early to say that there has been clear indications of terrorism in that attack. In Mozambique, It has been festering for some time, with some reports going back to 2012. There has been even warnings from local communities to government to say there's a more fundamentalist interpretation that is spread by a specific group, the Swahili Zuna group, negating any form of negotiations with government, that saying that all Christian symbols must be removed, that saying that children are not allowed to attend government schools. But again, it is a melting pot of various driving forces that has to be taken into account. But I think what it essentially boils down to, it's a region that does not know or does not understand the threat and does not know how to deal with the threat.
And what are some of those driving forces that I suppose go into this melting pot?
If we look at Mozambique specifically, the first factor that we cannot deny is the ethnicity factor. In that specific area, we've seen the Makondes coming back, making use of business opportunities, repositioning themselves, and that has created ethnic tensions between the north and the southern areas of Mozambique. Secondly, skills development. In that area, we're sitting with a high level of unskilled people. There is a grudge towards government that they have been neglected, that they are not benefiting from Mozambique's socioeconomic development, as, for instance, other areas in Mozambique. And because of the economic development opportunities in that area, and now you sit with a problem, investors coming in, they're looking for skilled people, and again, they feel they are being excluded. That creates tensions. And that is still creating tensions with that specific group. Then you are sitting with criminal networks. Remember, there are entrenched criminal networks in that area, drug smuggling, weapon smuggling. And there's this competition for resources the whole time. And then the foreigner influence. It is a major route for foreigners moving in and out of that area. And with that, the foreign message, the foreign influence from Tanzania, from as far as Saudi Arabia, from as far as Sudan. And because of these dissatisfactions with government, it creates the ideal environment for a more fundamentalist interpretation to exploit some individuals to engage in these brutal acts of violence.
So how do we respond as not only the governments of South Africa and Mozambique, but perhaps SADC and certainly the African Union in the more continental sort of platform? How do we respond to these growing threats, I suppose, in regions that we did not necessarily always automatically relate or rather identify as potential terror threats?
there are a few alternatives available. And please, my friend, by no exclusion am I saying a law and order approach is not part of it. It is part of it. But the Mozambican government response has sadly created more schisms than crossing the divide. Now, first and foremost, what we are looking at currently in the world, and let's just step back a bit, is social media. It's communication, it is propaganda that is running full force. So your first thing that you need to do in countering an idea is to come up with a strategic strategy in countering the idea by a strong message of giving a better hope, of putting a better alternative on the table. That's your first thing. Secondly, is tangible results. Where government engages with communities, where government is showing a willingness and a trust in communities to collaborate and to communicate. So when there are warnings, it's not to ignore these warnings. When there's a problem, not to over-arrest individuals that is not even being linked to these type of activities for the sake of maintaining law and order. Thirdly, is not to play naive. It is not to say the problem is not existing. In Mozambique, there's a media clampdown on what is actually happening there, which makes it so difficult to analyze. Ignoring the reality is not going to deal with the reality. But I've centrifugal to this thing, is not to fall into the trap of saying that if we maintain stability, we have countered the idea. Locking up people will not counter an idea. It is only going to accelerate the problem. And then lastly, and I think this is another concern, and let's be honest about this, is your private companies moving into over-militarize the issue for own financial benefit? We are seeing PMCs already trying to sell weapons to Mozambican government, dilapidated weapons. But it's a money-making spinning machine that's running. People that say that we must desensitize and we must protect communities against radicalization. And government has to take caution in not to expose them to these exploitations taking place by collaboration with regional states, by interacting from a multitude of levels in creating this better hope, this better alternative.
Let's hope. Let's continue hoping and continue working hard. Jasmine Opperman, thank you very much indeed for your time this morning. Director at Terrorism Research and Analysis Consortium.